Blog Talk Radio.
Educating black women about her stories from all schools of thought. Radio, dedicated to black women and the study of who and what we are. You are listening to Black Wombiverse Radio. On Blog Talk Radio and leave comments to let us know how we're doing. You can also find us on YouTube and Facebook. On YouTube, our page is youtube.com/Black Wombiverse. Subscribe to us there. On Facebook, our page is facebook.com/Black Wombiverse. Send us a friend request. Empowering, informing, and uplifting black women. If you are interested in joining,
what can really make a man? No golden money clips and honey dips don't make a brother. No, don't make a brother golden. What can really make a man? Is he really real? Let you know the deal. What
makes a man golden? Is not what he's holding. I'm past all his sewing, and how fly his clothing. When brothers impress us, attraction's just natural. Just good conversation. Ain't got to be packing, no. Simple love money can't buy. Simple love's hard to come by. I don't need no sugar good daddy. I could be a sugar good mommy.
You are listening to Black Wombiverse Radio. This is your show host, Seek Wisdom. And we do have a very, very interesting hot topic, sometimes taboo subject for tonight. Tonight's show is about sex. Let's talk about sex. We're going to talk about sexuality, sensuality. We're going to talk about sexual abuse. We're going to talk about women, you know, standing in their power of sensuality and sexuality. And we're going to talk about some other taboo subjects. Before we get into a lot of the other more risque or taboo subjects, I'm going to open the line for my special guest tonight, Dr. Lady Arsette. How are you?
I'm good, sis. How are you?
I am good. I am good. Wow. Nice to have you back on the show with us. It's been a while.
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me.
It's been a while, and this sister is a sister that's very special and near and dear to my heart. But tonight we have you on so we can discuss bear astrology and what bear astrology is. So, you know, feel free to get into what bear astrology is and what's the connection to sex since you're on the show where we're talking about sex.
Okay, bear astrology is a completely new 2012 calendar that I am doing to raise awareness on sisters who have been victims of domestic violence and rape, and how do we reclaim our sexuality back. It's a complete fundraiser for Black Womaniverse, as well as Won't Be Broken, a domestic violence foundation here in Denver, Colorado. And I got involved, well, okay, this is why, and Seek is for the listeners, Seek Wisdom is one of my favorite sisters on the planet. And I was, for whatever reason, it was just in my head that I needed to do this project. And so I came to her and I was like, you know, I think I want to do a new shoot, but I don't know what for. And she was like, go for it. And, you know, and this is a sister that I come to for counsel. So I'm like, wait a minute, Seek. Like, you know, I'm Dr. Lady Alsan. I can't be doing that. And she was like, no, you need to do this. And when the project began to be revealed to me on why it was so profound in reclaiming our sexuality after we've been victims, it was evident that it was necessary. And I, for the most part, you know, I thought I was a together sister. You know, I'm pretty comfortable in my skin. I was pretty open with talking about, you know, mistakes I have made sexually or things that I have gone through. But I never really, I had confused being comfortable with reclaiming my sexuality. I was comfortable with the sexuality that was given to me. And doing this calendar really has brought me true freedom and true liberation in my sexuality. And I hope that, you know, sisters understand that it's okay for them to want to feel sexy. It's okay for them to look at their breasts and say, damn, them is some, I got a nice rack. You know what I'm saying? It's okay for us to say everything that we got to do in order to feel comfortable and to feel confident in our being. Now, I don't think that everybody needs to pose nude. I don't think that everybody needs to cover up. I think that the goal is to just say our sexuality is ours, and we're claiming it back, even though we have been victors. I'm not going to say victims anymore. We have been victors of these horrible tragedies. And it's okay for us to say, yeah, you know, this happened to me, but I love my yoni, I love my breasts, I love my ass, I love my hips, I love my thighs, I love all of that, even though this has happened to me. And, you know, I shared the story on my YouTube that I thought I was together until my first nude shoot. And
now, before you go there, because I know what type of emotions that brought up, so let's back up a minute. Tell us a little, and this should probably be my first question, but because you and I are so comfortable with each other, we tend to just get in the flow of things.
Let me
introduce you to the listeners who may not be familiar with you. Can you give us a little background on who Dr. Lady Alsan is? What is it that you do on your day-to-day, the organization that you run? And why did you feel so moved to do this nude photo shoot and do this calendar and support the organization that you did? How are you personally connected to that?
Okay, I'm an artist first. I do theater. I'm a dancer. And I have a performing arts company called Visions Performing Arts. And www.visionspac.org. And I also am a holistic doctor. I do spiritual readings. I'm the spiritual and energy reader with my partner, Dr. Kafani, for Four Corners readings. And that's what I do in the daytime. I'm actually just coming from teaching a theater class right now, and then I do readings and healings and all whatever, you know, ritual, all of that stuff. That's what I do during the day. I got involved with Black Womaniverse because it's probably been about a year and a half, almost 2 years that I've been at least following the work of Sister Seek anyway. And she reached out to me during some really, really serious times where I needed a sisterhood. I needed to be reminded why I was doing Goddess Awakening, to be reminded all of this. And the kinship just was automatic. It just was automatic. I do proclaim Black Womaniverse to be my temple. I say that every day, damn near. That is a temple that I belong to. And with the beautiful work that Black Womaniverse is doing, is planning on doing, I wanted to contribute. I wanted to say I want to give of myself to the temple in some way. Won't be broken. I am an advisor on her board, and it's very dear to my heart because when she came to me about sitting on her board, I had never told anyone at this time. This was about 3 years ago. I had never told anyone that I was a victim of domestic violence. So through her organization was really the first time I publicly let it be known that my first husband abused me. So I have this connection to her sister. Her name is Rolanda, and the organization is Won't Be Broken Foundation. And I just have this beautiful connection with her, and she breaks her neck for sisters out here. Her and I together have aided many sisters, and I said, you know what, somebody needs to do something for the organization. I understand. I have a nonprofit, so sometimes you just need somebody to just give, and that's really what I want to do. That's really all I want to do, is to be able to say, this is going here, this is going for this these great organizations that I believe in, that I think every sister should be involved in, and they're it's really, really about sisterhood, which is my foundation with Goddess Awakening and coming from a family of women.
All right. Now, you were going to speak about some of the things you addressed or things that started to come through you, these emotions from your first photo shoot. Could you touch on that for us?
Oh, gosh. If there was a fly on the wall, listen, family, and y'all could hear Seek and I's conversations of the journey to get to this nude shoot, it was something serious. If you're my Facebook friend, you see my folder that says comfortable in my skin. And that was really kind of the journey. Like, I started, like, in my bikini. Then I went to, okay, I'm going to put a top on and some fishnets. And then I'm going to do. So it was kind of like this journey. And the closer I got to knowing I had to do the nude, the more all of these just, these thoughts that I thought were gone. I started thinking about what my first husband was going to think. I started feeling insecure about the brother who raped me. Him saying, you know, my breasts aren't big enough, and because I was raped in such a violent way, you know, I start having these flashes of this gun. I mean, it was just all of this mask, I guess hidden, deep-rooted emotions that I had never dealt with, and I thought I did, you know, and this is why this calendar is so liberating for me personally, because I found my true freedom. Like, I remember KT is with Two Extreme Photography. He's the one who sponsored the photo shoot. He said, I'll say, you can't come in here with your bathing suit on. This is a new shoot. We've done enough of those, you know. And so I was just like, and I literally said, what is my ex-husband's, my first husband's name? What is so-and-so going to think? And he said, girl, if you don't take that damn robe off, get your ass over here and start this shoot. And it was like, it took about 40 minutes for me to really get comfortable, because I was still plagued with this. And, you know, he's moved back to Denver. He's back into the art community. He's back into the community, period. So I see him far more than I used to. So all of these thoughts and this slavery that I still was participating in, and I done been married and divorced since him, and I did not realize that he still had this hold on me. And like I said, I thought I was together, and it really, really affected me. I mean, I was like, I got home and was like, I can't believe I've still been subconsciously living this this torture of what. And you know, and I used to practice Islam, so I'm thinking, you know, what's the Ummah gonna think? What's everybody in the mosque gonna think? All of these things about this, who the idea of what everyone else thought that Dr. Lady Offset was supposed to be. And you know, and I have that. People saying, how you gonna take the name Offset if you doing this? And I'm like, y'all really don't know the story. Y'all really don't understand the story of Offset if you're really thinking about it. And it almost made me fall in love with Offset even more now that I've done this, because now I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. I totally understand. Be comfortable with every single part of you. This woman, you know, and this woman built something for the great penis. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, this is really about healing. And I did. I found it, but it was emotional. It was a ride. It was a ride. You know, my children, I set my children down and talked to them about it. They were supportive of it. And really, at the end of the day, if anybody's going to have any type of say on whether or not I'm going to not do something, it would have been my children. And when my children got it, when my 9-year-old said, oh, Ma, you got to pose naked so that the women will know that they have to love their bodies after somebody takes something from them. When my 9-year-old said
that. Now, that's powerful when a 9-year-old says that to you.
Right. Right.
Very powerful.
And I honored it. And they, you know, I mean, they weren't sitting in front of while we were doing it, but they came with me. They would be downstairs. We would be doing our thing. And they, you know, and I said, if my babies can see this, and I have one daughter and two sons, and if my children can see it, then the dummies who want to judge and say this is ill, it's just not for you, and I'm all right with that.
This is the other thing I wanted to touch on. So from what I'm hearing, you came to this with the idea that you wanted to contribute to these two organizations and show that, you know, because you've been through tragedy, you can still be empowered and be sensual and sexual and love yourself and love your body, because you can overcome what you've been through. You can become a victor instead of being a victim. Okay, and through doing that, you had to address some emotional things that you thought you had already dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I just heard you speak about is the backlash from certain people within certain communities, namely, I'll just say mainly the conscious community, which
mm-hmm.
I don't associate myself with anymore, so I'm gonna speak limited about that particular community. But can you touch on that? I saw the backlash, and you and I discussed what was going to happen, and we already knew what was going to happen before
mm-hmm.
you even started taking the pictures. But can you get
mm-hmm.
into some of the comments and, you know, be as candid as you like? You don't have to. We're not going to speak to anybody's particular name because we're not going to give them that power. But can you speak to the type of comments and the the mind games that were played once
right.
they realized you were serious about this, and the lack of.
Was,
go ahead.
It was. I got called an American Europeanized whore.
Wow.
I got told that posing nude is doing nothing but objectifying a victim. Mind you, I'm a victim. And you
right.
know what I'm saying? So I was like, wait a minute, I'm the one doing it. I got told that I was selling out, that I was using sex to sell just to the American media. You know, why do I have to show my ass to raise awareness and blah, 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 blah. And here's the thing. I think it really messed people up because I was very honest about, you know, why I did it, what I wanted to do, what I wanted to accomplish. But I was realistic, okay? I'm not a damn fool. I'm not going to sit up here and say that I didn't know if I told folks that I was going to pose nude that it would sell some calendars. Of course I knew that. You know what I'm saying? Of course I knew that.
Yeah.
I'm not in some
That's
cloud.
The whole point. If you're trying
you know
to support
right.
organizations, then hey. But it also is empowering to you as the person who went through this tragedy and trying to rise above it and succeeding in that. I mean,
right.
It's just amazing to me that a lot of the people, you know, didn't even, a lot of, and most of this backlash came from men. A few of it came from women, and we're going to talk about the women in a minute. But
yes.
The backlash that I saw come from the men were mainly, well, you speak about that since this is your situation and your trial, if I'll say, you know, speak to that. But the thing that spoke out to me was the lack of questioning where they were not clear
right.
as to why you posed that way. Can you touch on that?
Right. Yes. For everyone who gave the backlash publicly and were on my page and doing, when I didn't erase anything, I let everything stay right there. It was this assumed position that they thought I took. You know, none of the people who were given the ridicule stopped and said and asked any questions. All they saw was naked, rape, domestic violence. That's all they saw. And their idea of who they wanted, first of all, the idea of who they already had me to be in their head. So when I contradicted that, It was this entire, who do you think you are type of attitude. And then it became an elitist.
Right.
It became very elitist. You know, the black woman's body should not be shown. And wait a minute, who are you talking to? Because the black woman's body is about the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. You know, and
right.
so I don't know if and then, you know, we can go into, well, who made clothes? You know, I mean, we come in this world naked. I mean, it's so
right,
many
right,
different
right.
layers that I was just like, I can't believe, especially this quote-unquote conscious community nonsense.
And most indigenous people don't wear clothes, or there is very little, very limited clothing.
Right.
So I don't get it. I don't get that, except I understand it from this standpoint. For a woman to take her clothes off through her own, you know, on her own, and not be told to do so or made to do so for somebody else is a absolute representation of her power and her empowerment and saying,
right.
this is my body. I'm doing this for my own benefit and to support the causes that I want to support. Right there, to me, that is the main thing that most of these men had a problem with. It wasn't the fact
mm-hmm.
that you posed nude. It wasn't the fact that the pictures weren't tasteful. It wasn't the fact that they were not probably pleasuring themselves while they were looking at it. It was the fact that you had the audacity to go and do this instead of having a man take a picture
right.
of you and send it through the internet or send it through a cell phone without your permission. And that
right.
was the main thing. You did this on your own.
Right, right. And it's so funny because, you know, I posed a question. I know we're gonna get into the sister's reaction, but I had a sister, a Muslim sister here, who was very dear to my heart, still is very dear to my heart, and she totally, you know, is against the calendar and with whatever. And I said, sis, you know, it's funny because I took my power back. I said, I probably will never pose nude again. The goal of the calendar is to get more women to do the calendar. So 2013, we're looking for sisters who want to do a calendar themselves. I probably won't do this again. That's where I'm at right now. I might change my mind tomorrow, but right now I don't think I'm going to do another new calendar. But it's funny because I chose this. I said, sis, why do you cover? Why do you put your head wrap on? Why do you put your hijab on? Why do you cover from, you know, it's 103 degrees out there. Why are you wearing a long sleeve shirt? What do you do that for? And she said, oh, I do this because the temptation of men, and I have to make sure that they lower their gaze. And I said, so you still are giving your power away, even in your modesty. Even
right.
in your modesty.
Right.
So, if you asked it, I wouldn't have a problem, sis. If you
why
said I'm covering
why can't
because
men
I
have
want
control?
To.
Why can't they just control you know, right. there. Just because you see someone walking naked or laying naked does not give you a pass to have sex with them or grab or fondle right. them. That's not a pass. Right. You still have right. to ask permission. You still have to get permission. So I just right. don't agree with, you know, because she naked or because she wore a skirt, short skirt, she asked to be raped. That's BS. And a lot of women right. have been told that, well, if you dress this way, they're going to treat you like this. No. Yes, there's a little truth to that. However, it's still basically what this woman is and where her power is. And just because she puts on a short skirt does not mean she's a hooker or a whore. And at the same time, people need to research what the hookers and the whores and the prostitutes were originally for.
Right. Right.
And the fact that the U.S. is almost the only nation, well, I'm not going to say the only one, but when you go to a lot of different countries, they allow legal prostitution like they do in Nevada, and it serves a purpose. And if you're interested in that, you need to do your research on that. But it's
right,
not
right.
prostitution. First of all, prostitution is not even the real word for it. It was called a temple, and she was a priestess, and it was sacred and the mystical and the spiritual side of sexuality, not just
right.
what most people do today that lacks intimacy.
Right, right.
But that's a whole
it's
different
so
show.
Right, right, and please let me know when that one comes, because you know I'm.
Oh, we can touch on it. This is no holds barred discussion. I'm just saying that warrants a whole 2 hour or more segment by itself.
Right, right. Well, it
by
was
itself.
Interesting to me because I was saying to especially to the sisters who had an issue. Who told you that you should have an issue? Well, you know, every single sister who brought it to me, there was a man behind her saying something. And I said, you know, sis, come on. Like, I mean, I don't care what works for you, because sometimes your liberation is found in covering. And in the statistic, you know, this was a wow moment for me once I took on the project, was it's only about 3% of women who dress seductively who get raped. Only 3%. So,
right.
If we look at,
that's,
my, if, you know,
crazy.
we can listen and say, you know, statistics or who statistics are, I get it. But if you really think about it logically, a person who wants to rape, it's about control. It's
yeah,
about
and you took the words out of my mouth. It's all about control. It has nothing to
right.
do with she turned me on.
Right, right.
It's all about control, because in most cases, if you're in the middle of the rape and you decide, and I've had, you know, different people discuss this, but in most cases, if a person tries to rape you, they're doing it because they want control over you. They want you to be scared. They want you to fear them. The minute
right.
you try to flip that around, and I'm not telling nobody to go out and do this, but I'm just saying, just imagine what would happen if this person who's a serial rapist or enjoys taking things from people, in the middle of him trying to take it, you'd be like, yeah, give it to me, daddy, give it to me. He might actually stop and be like, oh, wait a minute, she flipping this around.
Right.
I don't have control no more.
Right, exactly.
He might
exactly.
actually stop and leave, because that's not
right.
what he's there for. He's there to take something. If you give it
right.
to him, or it seems like you're trying to give it to him, he might not even be able to get it up, because that's not
right.
what turns him. That's not what turns him on.
Mm-hmm.
What turns
mm-hmm.
a person who likes to rape people on is control and the fact that they're taking something from someone.
Right, right. And you have to be comfortable in your skin. That's another thing too. I'm gonna share how personal Seek and I are intimate on a sisterhood level. Seek, you know, I'm naive on a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes I can be really naive on some. Come on, I said you. Come on, and it's not. It's just because I believe in the good of everybody. I love on everybody, and I can say by doing this, my antenna has gotten sharper. You know, I've
uh-huh.
been able to say, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, no, I can't be naive, because I can see this, because I'm comfortable. And you're right. If somebody is a rapist and they do, yeah, if you comfortable enough in your body to flip it, even though you know you're being violated, but you know you're not going to give up your control of self, you can totally change the direction of where somebody is trying to go with you. And I can't say, I mean, my instincts are clearer, And I was already pretty sharp, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was already, like, in my opinion, I thought, I had my stuff together. And I definitely now, I'm looking at brothers no, and I'm looking at sisters no, and it's total. Just being, embracing that physical side of self has been great.
Now, I did want to touch on, I'm going to see if we have someone on the line who wants to join the conversation. I'm pretty sure we have Lynn who may want to join the conversation, so I'm going to open her line up.
Okay.
Lynn, how are you?
She there?
Lynn. All right, I'll put her back on mute. She may have her phone on speakerphone. She might be in the middle of doing something. When you get a moment so you can participate with the conversation, press 1 on your keypad. All right. Okay. Now, this is the other thing that I wanted to touch on. Now, you mentioned the women that had a big had a problem with this, and this is where the conversation is going to start to veer off from what we've previously been talking about, because this is about sex in all facets from a black woman's perspective or a woman's perspective. Now, when you were going through this, you made a comment about how the women, almost all the women that say anything to you about, you know, not approving of your decision to pose nude, and, you know, that those women were pretty much speaking to what men were telling them. It wasn't like their own authentic or original idea as to why they didn't approve of what you were doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to tell you what I said when you told me that. I said that this female probably liked what she saw. And it made her uncomfortable, or either she just didn't want to admit that she liked what she saw. Now, this is how I look at things. I love the image, both clothed and naked, of black women. I think black women are the most beautiful thing on the planet. So it doesn't bother me to tell another sister, oh, you know, your outfit's tight, your shoes are tight, or your shape is nice, I like your hair, oh, that's a hot naked, that's a hot new photo, that's hot. I don't have no problem saying that. I'm secure with myself, but I don't have a problem saying that. But it's ironic that I think in our community we have a big problem with homophobia in all facets. And I think for a black woman to not even feel comfortable being able to compliment another sister, or not even being able to look at nude photos, or to automatically jump on the side of men, it doesn't always go to it doesn't I'm not saying every time that happens that it's a situation where the woman likes or is attracted to the other female. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, in that particular situation, I do think that was a part of what the situation was, and I'm not going to even get into why for the purpose of not wanting to get into too much personal stuff. But I don't understand what's wrong with another woman saying that she thinks another woman's body is sexy, or she's attracted to that. I don't understand what the problem with that is.
Well, you know what, sis, for me, I'm one of those sisters that there's always a question, am I lesbian? Okay? Because I'm very comfortable. I have many lesbian friends. I'm straightforward in saying I could see a beautiful woman and be attracted to her. No, I am not a lesbian, but I am definitely comfortable in my skin enough to be in that environment of whatever. And so it's already assumed, you know, that was another assumption, because I was saying, you know, for the most part, the pre-orders of calendars right now are majority women. It's not men. Majority women are ordering the catalog. I mean, the calendars.
Calendars.
So as soon as the interest is piqued on my personal sexuality, I'm going to, especially on Facebook, especially on Facebook. I use Facebook as a social experiment. I test the waters on that thing all the time. And it's because I'm doing research. I'm trying to understand people. It's a great way
right.
to do sociology studying, all of that. So when my sexuality began to get questioned, I said, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and say that I don't see a sexy black woman and say, damn, she's sexy. You know what I'm saying? And how come, why are we condemned on any of that? Why can't a sister look at the calendar and enjoy the calendar just as a man would? Why can't, and I hope that that is the case. I hope that with the sisters who have signed on for 2013, I hope that they understand you're not, it's just like, you know, hip-hop artists get mad because it's so many gay men following them. Well, when you on the cover of XXL with your shirt off, you know what I'm saying?
We're all on your shirt. I mean, what you
think is going to happen? You know what I'm saying? So, again, this is another thing that was really realistic that I don't think people thought that I was going to say. You know, they didn't think that I was going to say, hell yeah, I know sex sells. Hell yeah, I know that a brother's going to buy it just because I'm doing it. Hell yeah, I know all of these things. Yes, I know that sisters are going to enjoy it just as much as men did. And I'm going to use it because the goal is I'm trying to raise $1,500 each for each organization, and I am going to do that. So with that being said, I'm going to claim my own self, my own pussy, and say this is what's going to happen, and I'm going to need you to get this $20 calendar so that I can make sure that Black Womaniverse has a fund so that if there's a sister who needs to get through a retreat but she can't, she's going, whatever Black Womaniverse does, so that won't be broken. If there's a sister who needs rent assistance because she's getting out of her domestic violence, then that's going to happen. You know, there's a bigger goal than somebody getting upset. And quite frankly, I know too many
gay lesbian sisters. At the end of the day, these are pictures. They're images. And
right.
It's funny because in certain places, people consider themselves non-religious, but at the same time, they're pretty much telling you that you can't make any graven images of God. Don't make no graven images of God.
Right. Okay. I'm liking that. See, the listeners get to hear how we really talk. That's why I love
right.
coming on the show. This is really how we talk, y'all. This is really like, this is no guest show. This is a conversation
right.
that we usually have, and it's just that's how comfortable it is. But that was you
right,
right though. I'm gonna have to put that in my repertoire of explaining.
Yeah. This
you know.
We gonna make graven images of God. Okay, I have Lynn on the line. How are you, sis?
Hello. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Hey,
okay,
Lynn,
what you
doing?
Hey, lady, what's
up? How are you?
You just killed it. You just killed it with the gravy. I was in the car like, oh, gravy.
Oh, that's right. That what made you press the one on your keypad, the gravy images. Hey, you pretty much what this is a calendar of the different expressions of God triumphing over the things that tried to take her out. And I mean exactly what I said.
Right. I say,
right.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
I love that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, know why anyone would have, well, I do understand why some people would have a problem, but before reaching out and attacking the next person, you know, especially in a community where people are supposed to be more aware, you know, you really should check within yourself first to see just exactly what it is that you're so angry about. I don't know about the next person, but I saw the couple pictures that I saw. I was like, oh, my God. I'm still trying to figure out how to copy and paste your thighs. If I ever figure it out, all my pictures on Facebook going to have your thighs on all of them.
When I saw the pictures, I was like, oh, that's some hot. That's hot. She's hot. I had to call her. I'm like, yo, that's sexy. That's hot. You know, I believe in if I see something that's tasteful and sexy or what have you, I'm going to express that that's how I feel about it. It doesn't matter to me whether it's a male or female. You know,
mm-hmm.
and for me, I feel even more responsible to uplift my sisters, to let them know how well they look, how, you know, because you never know how another sister is feeling. And there's so much media out there trying to make black women feel bad about our appearances, you know, how we look, what size we are, you're too small, you're too big, not fat enough, your butt ain't big enough, your breast ain't big enough, your lips ain't full like Erica Badu. I mean, come on now. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the need to always express to my sisters, you are beautiful, period. Ain't
right.
No, you beautiful, but, or you beautiful if you, no, you beautiful. You sexy,
right.
You hot, you the baddest thing on the planet. There it is. So it's a 12-month calendar of some hot shit. Pick it up.
Right. Well, you know what? And it's so funny. My friend, one of the main pictures that got a lot of flack was a very good friend of mine. I mean, he's literally one of my best friends. His name is Eric. He was in the picture with me. Now, before I put that picture up, he's a Leo too. I put the picture up because it was his birthday and we were talking about some Leo stuff. But when I put the he's the one, he actually paid for my first couple of photo shoots because he was helping me get comfortable. And it was interesting because the same photo shoot, the same people would like the picture or say, you know, this is hot, whatever, whatever. The moment the black man entered the picture and he entered it on a submissive type of shit because it was sitting there and I'm standing over him looking over my back. But that was the point. Like, Eric was like, you know, you need to, you know, let me know. I'm the man. You let me know that you in control. This was the whole point of the picture, right? And it was so interesting. That's the picture that caused the most flack when the black man entered the picture. And I said, because he entered the picture on some, I'm in control, you sit your ass down, and I'm going to let you know how I'm going to take my body back. You know what I'm saying? And that was the whole goal.
Right.
But I wasn't even putting the picture up. That picture stands.
I'm sorry. I truly apologize, but I have to share something right here, and I try my best not to cut people off, so I apologize. I really do. What you just did, everybody who's listening to this, you need to go pick up the Alphabet versus the Goddess. The whole gist, I recommend getting the book and reading the book. But you can also, if you're a member in the temple, you can look in our library or in our documentaries and movie sections and get this lecture by Leonard Schlain. His last name is spelled S-H-L-A-I-N. I believe it may be on Google Video. You probably can find it. Just Google Alphabet versus Goddess video and you'll probably find it. But you really need to read the book to understand exactly where he's coming from. But the lecture tells a good deal of it. It's an hour, 15-minute lecture. Anyway, what you did was get back to the glyphs. You didn't need any words to explain what was going on in that picture. When you posted that picture up, that graven image of a male being submissive to God,
mm-hmm.
You did some things with that.
Mm-hmm.
There was no need for words. There was no. You took it back to the glyphs that's on the pyramids. You took it back to the petroglyphs and the rock carvings in Africa. You took that back and said, no, this is who I am, and you know I'm your mama.
And they
mm-hmm.
felt it.
Yeah, they felt it. And see, that's the thing. Pictures have power, and this is why the Bible says there should be no graven images. This is how the goddess was taken down, and you also took stuff from the left brain, analytical, written, alphabetized everything to the right brain where the creative, intuitive side came in. And so everybody knew what that picture said without any alphabets having to be, you know, displayed. They knew what it
mm-hmm.
said. That's why it struck a chord in them. Pictures are
mm-hmm.
always going to strike a chord. That's why they use commercials to sell things. You sell more things and you say a lot. A picture is worth 1,000 words. I mean, everybody heard that.
Right. And you know, and it was so beautiful. I think Lynn, you sent me a message of encouragement because I was getting attacked, Joe. I was getting attacked from that picture. And Lynn sent me something that was like, sis, you better not start, you know, just know you're doing what you're supposed to do. It's serving its purpose. And Eric, the brother who's in the picture, he's so supportive and does the same thing. And when I say this brother,
is the furthest from any type of nonsense. He's like, yo, this sister is, if she gonna do whatever she gonna do, I'm supposed to come in, I'm supposed to protect, I'm supposed to make sure she's good and she's in a space where she feels safe enough, and that's exactly what he did. And we going back and forth, and finally they wouldn't address him, though. They wouldn't address him. They just addressed me, the American boy.
Wow.
But they not saying nothing
wow.
to him. And so we said, so me and Eric are sitting back like, yo, like, that's foul. Like, if it's about objectifying, why aren't they addressing him? You know what I'm saying?
They're not going to address him because they're not going to address the male. They're not going to address the male. If
right,
and I'm gonna call things like they are. If they're trying to kill God, they're gonna go after God. They're not gonna go after who's worshiping God.
Right.
They're not gonna go after the male. And I'm gonna take it to our terminology we use now. They're not going to go after the male. Their problem is you. You are too empowered. You are standing too much in your power. You should not be feeling as though you can, in their eyes, parade your body around like this without them saying something. You are their property. You need to sit down and take these pictures down. You know better than that. Don't you? Who are you? Who are you? Remember, you said you felt like it was a little elitist thing. Who are you? How dare you put your picture up like this?
How dare you try to climb out of the box that I put you in?
How dare you try to be empowered and triumph and become a victor over, you know, the fact that you were raped? You're supposed to be in your place and not feeling good about your body and your person because of what somebody did to you. And see, this is the power that a woman can have when she faces these problems, whether it's a rape, whether it's, you know, a molestation that happened when she was little, whether it's the fact that she's been verbally, physically, or mentally abused. When you start to stand in your power, you're always going to have either the person that did the abuse or somebody else similar to them that may be acting in their place saying, how dare you try to rise above where I put you?
And it's really, you know, and I need to say this to my sisters who have been victors over this. Even make sure you really have dealt with it, because again, by the time the calendar came, I'm thinking I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you really doing your healing rituals. Make sure you really see, this was a ritual for me. So make sure you really are addressing getting healed, because I thought I was. Until I had to bear all. Until I had to say I have to be vulnerable, because I got sisters that I love that I want to make sure they get their healing. And I healed even more. I never know. I thought I was free. I ain't never known freedom and liberation like I do now. I put on the whole jean outfit, or I go put my mini skirt on. I ain't never ever felt this free in my entire life.
But see, it's that right there that when somebody takes something from you, they don't want, whether an abuser knows this or not, they don't want you to feel that freedom. They want you to be held captive and held, you know, and be enslaved to how they made you feel when they took control of you. That's what it's all about. So the mere fact that you stood up and said, no, this is my body, I'm going to be a victor over this situation, I'm going to be a warrior about this healing that I'm going through, and I'm going to do this to support what I've been through, and I'm going to share this situation that I've been through, and I'm going to really do this, and I'm going to show other sisters that this is empowering to stand in and embrace what you've been through, because now I'm a better woman. I can get over this. I can get through this. I can move past this. This is not right. me. It's just something that happened to me.
Right. And you know what, sis? I don't know if we can talk about the play, but the play.
Sure.
The play is in conjunction with the calendar. So here in Denver on 11/11/11, Friday, 11/11/11, we're going to do a play called Naked. And it's basically the same principles, except it's not just women. We are dealing with men who have been victims of domestic violence as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. I had a brother who I have known for 13 years. Okay, 13 years we've been doing work in the community together on some hip-hop stuff, on liberation, all of that. And I asked him to do this part, one of the parts in the play is a conscious brother who is active in the community but beating his wife at home. Okay?
Oh, wow.
It has taken. I went through three men because the first brother who I love dearly, but I have lost respect for because he said I have to think about what my brothers are going to think of me if I play this role, and I said this is the truth.
If it happens, why can't you play the role? Even if it wasn't an actual real situation, which I can't. I wish I could say that never happens. I wish I could say that it's not a real situation. But even if it wasn't, if your job, if you're a thespian, if you're an actor, if you know, if that's what you do, you can play any part. It's a role. But why?
Nah, he wasn't having it. He wasn't having it. He said his mentor was going to judge him because, quite frankly, his mentor is one of these people. He said, you know, and I said, you know what? I'm telling you that this was my story. I've known you forever. There's been times you came and you did protect me. But I'm telling you, this was my truth. My first husband is active in the community. He's this, he's that, he's doing all of this stuff. And he was home beating me. And this story needs to be told because there's so many sisters this is happening to, and they're being manipulated in saying that this is a part of their role in the community. This is a part of getting the community better. This
right.
Is, you know, this is, and so he wound up walking away from the role, and I had to find somebody else. He did pretty much the same story. I finally found a brother who was brave enough to take this role on, and the goal with Naked is I want to take Naked across the country. I want to take this show with the calendar to different little cities. I don't care if it's in the club. I don't care if it's in somebody's house. This story, the stories of these characters need to be told. And as a playwright, my characters mess with me. You know what I'm saying? They don't leave me alone. They stay in my head. I'm all constantly writing. And these characters removed me from everything, right? But they do not have names. This is the first time I've never had a character nameless. Every single character. There's a lesbian couple in the play. The lesbian is hitting her girlfriend. There's a man who's being abused by his wife. There's the conscious couple. And then I play the rape victim throughout the play because I didn't want to reenact rape, so she's just kind of the constant. But none of them have names. And I kept asking the universe, I kept asking Mother God, it's like, why can't you name these people? And she clearly said, because there's too many names to give. There's too many. You know what I'm saying? And we have to understand that this, you know, this calendar has gone way further than I thought it was. You know what I'm saying? And the play, I'm eager to get on the road with this play. I'm eager to get on the road with the calendar and being brought to other cities to raise this awareness because it's serious, sis, and we're dismissing it. You know, forget my naked ass. We're dismissing that the issue is we got people getting beat. We got people being raped, and this is not okay. And when this happens, how can we tell them it's okay for them to want to feel sexy again? And I went through that. You know, I'm a dancer. I communicate with my sexuality. My sensuality is the best way that I communicate. So and it was a struggle to get there. You know, I had to, even doing the calendar, I had to realize I still would walk by the mirror and wish I had bigger breasts. I still would walk by the mirror and wish that I didn't have stretch marks on my ass. None of the pictures are edited. None of the pictures, that's the thing. We ain't editing shit. You going to get the exact thing of what it is and see the glory and see the beauty in our beautiful bodies. And sisters, all the listeners, if you want to pose nude, please let us know because we are definitely, we want to get 12 different women to have 12 different calendars in 2013. And we just want to make this an annual thing where Black Womaniverse and WBB is going to just always know these fundraisers are happening. And we do have a goal of $1,500 to get $1,500 in both of these organizations' hands through the calendar. through sponsorship, through whatever. Somebody just wants to have their logo in the calendar, and you want to in every single calendar. Let me know, because we just need to put. If I can say $1,500 is what we got for the entire year of 2012, then that means I know 2013 I can double that. That means 24, and I just want to keep on doubling. So I got all of 2012 to get $1,500 from these calendar sales to two organizations, and I think it's feasible. I think it's beyond feasible. I think we're going to surpass it. I think that the awareness is going to be made. Even the people who don't agree with it, once they talk to me and they really ask questions, they wind up supporting it somehow. They wind up doing something, because you can't
right.
deny what the cause is for.
Exactly. Even if you do not agree with the way that has been selected to raise the funds, the point is the cause is it speaks for itself. Now, I'm going to be respectful of your time, so I'm not going to – I'm trying to maybe have you maybe 20 or 30 more minutes, if that's possible.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Okay. And I want to go ahead and let's take a brief break. You know what? I'm not going to do a break right now.
Good,
because we got some important stuff to cover. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to add that the piece of the puzzle that I think people are missing, or what people don't understand, and maybe they are fortunate enough, maybe these people are blessed enough to have never gone through any type of physical or emotional abuse in their lifetime. But the piece of the puzzle that they are missing is that when someone puts their hands on you, whether it be to physically abuse you, whether it be to molest you, to touch you in a way that you did not invite, whether this happened when you were a child or a teenager, an infant, that does something to a person. That does something to their psyche. That does something to their consciousness. And it turns something inside of you, inside of the mind, into why is this happening to me? What did I do to cause this to me? And in a sense, that person's own mind, a piece of it starts to work against them. You always have this something in your mind trying to put together, well, what happened? Why did this happen? What did I cause this? What did I do to deserve this? And
right.
eventually, for different people, it plays out different ways. But some people's own body ends up being a weapon. So this person may have touched you one time, but it has turned your body against you and being a weapon, still doing their dirty work years later.
Yep.
Mm.
By
standing and saying, even though this happened to me, I still love me, and I forgive that person, and I love my body, even though I use my body in all these different ways to try to, you know, try to put the pieces together, I claim my body. This is my body. I love my body. And to show how much I love my body for everything that it is, I'm going to take this picture so that I can hold this image. And every time I look at it, see how much I love my body. And reclaiming that power, no, this is not going to be used against me. This is mine. I own it. I love it. This is me.
That's right.
That's mm-hmm. what this project is about. And
right.
how can you be mad at that?
And I have a tendency, I am very transparent with my listeners, with people that I'm healing with, all of that. I'm very honest. I will let you know this is what I've done, this is what I haven't done. And I don't think the authenticity that it has made me stand in, because there was always still this, oh, I don't want to tell people how weak I really was during this time. You know what I'm saying? There still was this little piece of offset that I was holding on to myself because of shame, because of disappointment, because of still blaming myself. How did I get in the position where I got raped, where a damn gun was in my pussy? How did I get to this point? I still was taking this blame. And finally, doing this calendar, I'm telling you, it's like, that ain't mine. That ain't mine to have. They y'all was sick. That ain't mine to have. My body is the stuff. You know what I'm saying? And it took something as vulnerable as being naked. And, you know, I had people, oh, you got your images on the web and da-da-da-da-da. You know, once they on the web, you can't never take them down and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, shit, you know, I got the image of a gun in my pussy for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like, I can't stop that. So eventually I'm going to have to break out of the free and reclaim my freedom and say, yeah, that happened, but look at what I'm giving the internet these pictures. It's not like somebody is taking it and doing it on, like you said earlier, doing it on Lolo. This is, I'm giving it to, okay, go ahead, take them pictures. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't bother me. Just make sure you buy a calendar. Because, you know, them pictures ain't got nothing to do with whatever. The calendar is way more fire than the couple pictures that I did let go up on the internet. So make sure that you get a calendar.
That's right. And could you give us the website for Bear Astrology?
Yes, it's www.bearastrology.yolasite.com. And it's, we didn't even really talk about the astrology part, but I think it's kind of self-explanatory. Everybody is astrologically connected. There's so many layers to Bear Astrology because of 2012 and the doomsday idea, when really it's not about doomsday. It's about the goddess energy realigning and reclaiming who we are. And so the idea of us doing a new calendar for 2012 kind of was a play on all these conspiracy theorists with their mumbo jumbo, like, okay, let me show you really what 2012 is about. It's about me getting
Return
naked.
Of the mother energy. That's right.
You know,
that's what it's about.
So, you know,
looking at Leo picture again, that's what it's about.
Right.
Now, I want to deter and for the rest of the show have us talk about these other things that are a bit taboo when it comes to sexuality and sensuality and how it plays out with black women. Now, I'm going to go ahead and jump on right in here to this topic here. And, again, our call-in number is 646-716-7675. You know, if you listen to us on Facebook or anywhere else, you know, come on over to blogtalkradio.com/blackwomanverse so you can participate with the chat room or, like I said, call in. Again, the number is 646-716-7675. If you have a comment or question, press 1 on the keypad so that you will show up on the switchboard. Now, what I want to discuss is, I'm going to go ahead and jump into the fire, because I want to go ahead and talk about this real quick, because I think this is very important. We have a lot of, no, I'm going to ask you a question. Between black men and black women, as it's said in the media, who has the highest HIV/AIDS rate? Is it black men or black women?
Black women.
According to what we think we know, right?
Right.
That's wrong. If you pull up the CDC, black men have the highest rate. Their rate actually is more than double what black women's rate is on HIV and AIDS.
Really?
Yes. And the biggest contributor to that, the biggest contributor to that is due to homosexual activity.
Wait a minute.
All three of us on the line silent right now.
Right. I got real quiet.
Because they keep giving us this BS about how black women, to me, when I read this information and when I look at what they're trying to sell us, is that they're trying to make it seem like black women are promiscuous and we're just laying around, sleeping around with everybody, when it's not us. It is not us. It has not been us. Our rates have never, according to the CDC and other organizations, have never been higher than black men.
So who's telling us this?
Because I have heard it on several reports. Now, I never thought that black women were sleeping around. I thought they were catching it from their men who were sleeping around on down low.
Now, me too. We know that to be true. But the thing is, what they're saying is, it's like they're saying something without saying it. In a lot of commercials and a lot of the other information, they're taking a play for words and saying that black women's HIV rates are rising to a alarming rate, which is true, but when they say that, they are leading you to believe that our rates are the highest in the nation. No, black men have the highest rate. their rate more than doubles our rate. And I'm looking at a chart from, let me see if I can get back to this chart. Now, this chart was back in 2006 when they did numbers. This chart had black men, and this is rate per population of 100,000. It had black men at 115.7, and this is for every 100,000 people, you had 115.7 black men as opposed to 55.7 black women. So you can't sit there and say that our rates are like this, you know, that black women have the highest HIV AIDS rate. That's not true. And I've checked it on several websites. The other thing is we need to look at, and looking at what they're saying the biggest contributing factor to this is you know, pretty much homosexual activity with men. They went even further to show where this homosexual activity is happening. Can you guess where?
I would like to hear that, please.
The majority, and they're not saying all of it happens there, but the majority of it happens while they're incarcerated.
Oh, okay.
Now, check this. How many women are dealing with men that have been incarcerated?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying every man that has been incarcerated comes home and is sharing a little bit more than love with his mate, with his girlfriend or his wife. That's not what I'm saying.
But you know what?
But what I am saying,
I could be way off on this, but I always felt that about those dudes that love to be in and out of jail. I'm like, come on now, you just got to be in jail all the time. I always felt like they were freer with their sexuality in jail, which is why they ain't mind, you know, to continuously get arrested. As soon as you get out, you out for a good 5-6 months, then you back in again. I always felt like that was more than just, you know, you don't know how to act. You feel better with your sexuality in jail. But that's just, you know, I don't have no proof to back it up. That's just always been my personal thought on the matter.
Again, there it is. All I'm saying is I want to bring this topic up, and y'all know the three of us discussed this a while back, a couple weeks back, and you know this is something that I say in a lot of private conversations and a lot of temple calls with the sisters, and I think I'm going to call the women out on this one. In the black community, there's a big problem with homophobia, mainly toward the black men. It also applies to black women, but it's mainly toward black men. And to me, the only thing I can see happening, looking at these numbers and looking at our community's reaction to, you know, male homosexuality in the black community, the only thing I can say is these men do not feel comfortable publicly being who they are and what they want to be because of how we treat homosexuals in our community. And the only people that it's hurting is the women.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it makes more sense for me. It doesn't matter whether I agree with someone else's lifestyle or not. I don't have a problem with what somebody else does in their do in their bedroom. It does not affect me. If I'm not in the bedroom with them, it doesn't affect me, so I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter whether I have a problem seeing two men walking down the street holding hands. Hey, if they happy, let them hold hands. I have no problem with that. Let them be happy. Who said that I'm supposed to jump in and interrupt their flow? If that's what they like, fine. But I would rather see that. I would rather see two men together than to see, you know, these numbers keep rising for black women and other black men because these men they refuse to buy condoms and wear condoms when they with other men, because if they buy condoms and they bring condoms with them when they meet their boys, it's admitting that they're gay.
Mm-hmm.
This is psychological stuff that our community and religion has put into black men in their head, as well as black women, in terms of not just in reference to homosexuality when it comes to black women, but even how a lot of young girls are raised. But since you're speaking about homosexuality right now, I would like to hear some feedback from both of y'all on this, because I really think it's the black woman's responsibility. We're going to have to step up and say, you know, if you want to be with a man, be with a man, and be open about that. Because the longer we try to make them feel that it's nasty or that they can't do this or being gay is wrong because of religion or whatever, I think that's only hurting us. And I can't sit back and agree with that. If this person likes men and he's a man, fine. I really think we should be more open publicly about that.
I totally agree. And I would challenge people because usually 9 times out of 10, people who have a problem with homosexuality is because somebody else told them to.
Right.
Usually when you ask somebody, what is your problem with gay people or when they come, oh, he gay, oh, you got a problem? Or, you know, the first thing that they say is, well, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, or, you know, in the Bible it says, or God struck down Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, some stuff. Nobody is saying I personally have a problem with this. You know, it's all these other issues. I would challenge people to put out of your mind things that have been told you and search your own heart and see how you yourself really feel about it. Because when I was able to stop spitting out what Christianity taught me, and I thought about the issue, and you know what? I really don't give a damn, because like you say, I'm not in your bedroom. Now, if you want to bring something in my bedroom, now that's a different conversation. But,
right.
You know, for somebody else living their own life, no, I could care less. I really could care less. I think that everybody needs to do, you know, what they're here to do, and if that makes you happy, you know, fine. Be happy. You have my blessings. It has absolutely nothing to do with me. And really, if you really think about it, how nosy are you that you want to control what somebody else do in their bedroom?
Well, really, my big problem is really why does it matter to you? And I said your line is back open. But to me, I have a problem with the people who make a problem out of somebody else's sexuality.
Right.
To me, there's something that you haven't addressed if you're so concerned about who they sleeping with.
Right.
And a lot of times, yes, it's religion. You know, a lot of it is, you know, society and how society looks upon things. But if you pull up YouTube or any of these other books, they always shouting about what celebrities are gay now and who's sleeping with who. It really shouldn't even be something that's not common, you know, knowledge in terms of the fact that there are people in our society that prefer the same sex. And I just don't understand what the big deal about that is. Say I was a Christian, which I'm not. Say I was a Christian and I thought, you know, according to the Bible that homosexuality was wrong. Why ain't nobody really saying nothing to Eddie Long? Why he ain't really lose no members in his church? You know what I'm saying? It's so many pastors and preachers that are active homosexuals, whether it's out in the open or, you know, in the closet and however many closets they in.
Oh, no,
but
no,
the
no,
point
no.
is...
Now that's a different issue. That's
and then on top...
You
oh, it's a whole different issue, but it's the same one, too. But then on top of that, let's really talk about the Bible. The Bible didn't make Adam and Steve. You might be right about that, but when we did the show on Genesis, it talked about the first beings pretty much being androgynous, having male and female in one. So technically, the name is just, that's neither here nor there. And secondly, if you actually read the Bible yourself instead of taking what everybody else says for it, when you read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot, you find out that the reason things happened there was because those men that were trying to get in Lot's house to get to the men that he was being hospitable towards that were coming from out of the area into the new city, and he was being hospitable to them by letting them stay at the place and making sure they were safe. The men that were trying to get into the house was trying to get into the house to rape these men. Not because the men that were inside the house were gay, but these men that were outside were trying to get in to rape these men. That was the sin that was there. Because they were trying to take something from these men. So really learn and read your stories before you just agree with something somebody told you. And half of the things that people talk about in the Bible and other books, a lot of it they're getting from people who taught it to them. They're not reading it themselves. They're not getting a dictionary. And if you don't know what these keys and these codes and these metaphysical symbolism within these sacred texts mean, you really are taking it for face value when these books were not meant to be taken for face value. Anybody who has been to seminary will be able to tell you that. Anyone who has studied, for real, will be able to tell you that.
And also
anything can be understood on a multitude of levels.
I just go with,
it ain't my business. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? I'm about productivity. What are you doing? If you're doing something for sisters, you're doing something for the community, you're doing something for the baby, I don't care what you do. Even if you're not, really, you know what I'm saying? Because even whatever, why do we care so much? And I agree. We need to start standing. This was really the first thing that the quote-unquote conscious community kind of started shunning me out for, was because I am an advocate for homosexual rights and as a heterosexual woman. But my thing is,
I agree with that.
Why do I care who you want to claim on your taxes? They ain't my taxes. You ain't giving me no money from me. Like, if you taking care of somebody, you need to have the rights to that. You know what I'm saying? And that's just the way it is. And I had, this was really when I started getting backlash from the conscious community, because I would have homosexuals on my show. I was talking about, you know, we need to be, this is a civil rights thing. I'm not comparing it to the black struggle. This is just about being human. Like, let them choose who they want to be. Give them their freedom. And it would so much open up the door of at least awareness and safety. If these brothers is in jail doing what they got to do and they sleeping with each other, at least if they know that sisters, we're accepting and able to say, if this is what you do, we're not going to shun you. We're not going to criticize you. We're not going to do all of this stuff. Then maybe they'll use protection. You know what I'm saying? Then maybe they'll start saying, okay, I could do, because if a sister sleeps with a sister, she can still go get a brother. You know what I'm saying? And this was, this is so funny when you talk about this. Somebody in my cast asked me, you know, I said, would you date a man who had been with a man before? And that stopped me. That really stopped me. Like, and he was like, you know, the judgmental
before
stuff.
Before you finish that, because you're getting into something I was going to bring up. Before you finish that, I want to touch on taking the choice away from your partner. By, you know, because it touches on what you were about to say. By the person you are going to sleep with or be in a relationship with, if they don't know that you are bisexual or that you pretty much like the same sex, you just trying something new with them, if they don't know that, you're taking their choice away from them.
Right. Ooh, yes.
That's not affecting that person's free will. They have the right to decide whether they want to be with somebody who has slept with the same sex before. They have a right to know that.
Ooh, yes.
To me, more so if you're a male and you've been with men before and you get ready to sleep with a woman. Because right now in our society, 9 times out of 10, as a male, you weren't using protection.
Right.
And I would like to add in, when you look at the CDC numbers, there were no numbers for women transferring AIDS or HIV to other women doing homosexual activity. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
You better stop that shit. See?
I'm serious. It was not there. It is not there. If you think I'm lying, go to the CDC.gov, I believe. Let me go back to the CDC.gov, and or you can just Google CDC African American HIV AIDS. It's out there. The information is out there. People are not looking. They're just quoting stuff that they've been given, and they're not going to verify the information for themselves. And I also want to talk about the HIV/AIDS test in a minute. But go back to the play and what you were about to say, please.
So I had a brother ask me, you know, would you date a man who has been with a man before? And I had to really put some thought into it. I had to really sit back and say, honestly, initially, hell no, that's what I said, because of
conditioning. And then I had to check myself and say, well, wait a minute. How, who am I? You know what I'm saying? Like, who am I? What if he did try some shit? What if he was a victim of something? What if he wasn't a victim of something? And he just tried some shit. Maybe, you know, is it any different than a brother being with a white woman? Is it any different than, do you know what I'm saying? Like, what is it? What are the differences? And I had to say, you know, I would have to unlearn some things. But in theory, I think I would. I think I would be okay, because I'd rather you be honest with me and let me know, then we can honestly have this conversation. Okay, is this something that you want to get back to doing? You know what I'm saying? Is this something that you, and not off of being just some liberated woman, you know, like I had to check myself on that too. Like, am I saying, yeah, I would do it just because I think that's the right answer? But I really had to think about choice. And I really had to think about, if we don't allow brothers to comfortably say, you know what, I was locked up for 12 years, and the last 2 years, I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't. You know what I'm saying? I gave in a couple times. This is what it is. I'm not gay. I had homosexual affairs, but I am a heterosexual male in what I want to identify myself as now. Because the truth is that if they doing it on the low, they still going to identify as that anyway. You might as well give them the opportunity to tell you. You know, you might as well. Because something's got to heal. Something's got to heal. And I believe it's going to be the strength of the woman, of the sister, saying, baby, if you want to be gay, go ahead, be gay. Or if you've been homosexual, how can we, because that's the fear. You know, some of these men are saying, you know, we did this in prison as a means of survival, but now we home and we want to be with our ladies, but we can't tell our ladies this, because if we tell our ladies this,
right,
they're going to flip out, and it's just this whole cycle of secrecy. And while in the meantime, our rates are going up.
Now, I got a question for you. Because you mentioned as a means of survival. I haven't been locked up 12 years, so I don't know what that feel like, but I don't, and this is just me, I don't necessarily equate having to have sex as a means of survival.
I agree, and I do
so
agree.
So the only thing, and for me, and people can say I'm biased, but I'm going, this is how I feel, so I'm going to speak on it, and again, this is not being judgmental towards men, because if you happen to have sex with men once or twice and you're a male, or you like it and you just don't, you don't feel comfortable with openly saying that, that's your business. I don't pass judgment upon you. But to me, I think a man that's with another man, that's something that has always been with him. I think when a woman does it, it's more of option. It's not, to me, I think if a woman does that, it's more of an option. It's not really something that has been sitting inside of her that she's waiting. She's 30. She might want to try something. She might do it once, and she might not do it again. But
you
the same
so
thing could apply for a guy. But in most cases.
What about the brothers who were exposed to only women, and that's all they knew? That's all they knew. What about the brothers who, and I hate to say this, there are some sisters who raise their boys extremely feminine. So what about those brothers? And then they get out in the world, and they almost have been taught to be gay, and then they realize, wait a minute, I'm a dip into some pussy, and I really like pussy. But I am so feminized because my mama had me in the hair shop. My mama had me everywhere with her. There weren't no men around. She was raising me. She was, oh, my baby can't get hurt. My baby can't get dirty. My baby can't do this. Doing all of these things, and they didn't have the opportunity to just as heterosexual. You know, there's the same thing can be said for heterosexuality, too. So what
yeah,
does that
I
mean?
Think, I think
that
it's a difference from a guy that has a little more femininity about him than your average guy versus a guy. Because, I mean, I know that there are hardcore thug-looking black men that are straight up and down gay or on a down low. And
right,
I'm only making a difference between gay and on the down low, because when they gay, they pretty much will tell you. When they on the down low, they're not going to tell you. But they still are acting. They still have a gay life, and then coming home and laying in the bed with their wife or their girlfriend. So that's the only why I'm making a difference between the two. But I don't really look at a person's appearance as a gauge, as a sole gauge as to whether they're bisexual or heterosexual or homosexual. And again, it ain't up to me to judge anybody. I just think for a man, it's a little bit of a different scenario. But again, I don't know. I'm just being open and honest about how I feel about that. At the same time, I'm not going to sit up here and look at a guy because he's been with a guy, another male sexually, and think he's nasty or whatever. I'll be honest, I don't think I would have sex with him, though, and let me tell you why. If he truly loves having sex with men, there is nothing, based on biology, conversation, psychology, there is nothing, and sexuality, there's nothing that a woman could do to satisfy him on the level that a man can. There's no way that a woman can hit that certain spot.
Right.
And all I'm gonna say is that certain spot. A woman cannot do that. Even if she was to even go as far as buying a strap on, she's still not gonna be able to do it like another guy can. If he really likes a male, there's nothing that a female could do for him. Nothing.
But then I think that right there is the difference, though. When he had sex with a man, was it because he enjoyed relationship, or was it like Lady said before,
was
he in jail and he didn't have a choice? There's a difference
right.
there. So
that's
while
different.
He had a relationship with a man, it's not that he enjoyed or not that that's what he wanted to do. He was in a situation.
Yeah, that's different.
But, yeah, I agree. If he actually likes the feeling that being with a man gives him, I can't reach your prostate, so that we're not getting ready to go anywhere. We can be
cool. And if he really likes it like that, I say he should be open with it and he should go. And I say right here on the air, Seek Wisdom, Tara Fisher, I support any black man that really truly loves and wants to be with another black man. If that's what you are, that's who you are, that's your love, that's your passion, I have no problem with you being who you are openly, because it's better for you, your physical body, your spirituality, everything about you, and it also assists women with being able to make a choice, a wise decision as to what they want to do with their body, because you're not lying to them anymore. Plain and simple.
I wonder the openness. Can we really be that open? When is a brother really going to be that open if he knows there's any room for doubt? Any room for doubt?
Well, I think they should, because there are women who date bisexual men. There are.
Yeah, I know women who date bisexual men. And no, even if the guy ain't came out, she already know he bisexual. Even if she ain't told me, there's certain things that she done identified with him and then discussed with me, okay, I already know you know he bisexual. I don't even need to tell you that. And you cool with it, so I'm going to stay in my place because I'm not in y'all bedroom. So I know that there are women out there that will date bisexual men.
Wow.
It still does not give a man or a woman the right to not be honest with somebody about who they choose to lay
right.
with. It's still taking that poor person's choice away. Now, if that
right.
guy still says he's not comfortable with it, that's cool. But I think if you know you're not comfortable with it, then maybe you need to stick with just being with males instead of trying to do both, because it's just not fair. At least a man, when you're with that man, he know you like men.
Right.
And again, it's not up to me to make nobody else's choice. I just think that this is a conversation. Y'all see how many questions we have and all this type of stuff. This is a conversation that needs to be had on a massive level in our community. You know, it is sickening that we keep looking, you know, it's just sickening how we treat this topic. No one wants to talk about it. You know, you think gay people are. I have an uncle that we've known since the longest time that he was gay. And, I mean, I'm not going to treat my uncle any different than I treat my aunt who has a husband. That's still my flesh and blood. I don't care who you sleep with. That's none of my business. You are still a human being. You are still my family. You still my uncle, period.
I think
we should stop treating them differently, you know, and being so judgmental.
Yes.
Because it's
yes.
not, it does nothing for them, and in the long run, it does nothing for women.
Right, and it's the mothers, the sisters, the aunties, because in your scenario, with a guy who is more comfortable with men than with women, the reason why he doesn't just go and date men is because he still got to come around his family. And when he
right.
get around his family, of course, his family is wondering, well, when you going to get married? Well, who you dating?
Right.
And all and you know and all of that pressure
on
him,
and
they don't want to hear anything. Yeah, they don't want to hear anything about homosexuality, even though it might be right in their face. They don't want to see that.
All right. Did you have another comment to make on that note?
No, I'm good. I'm good. That was perfectly said. I think I would date a brother who, as long as it wasn't, that was his preference, and he didn't, you know, it wasn't like, you know, it would be a thorough conversation, but I think
yeah,
I
would that would definitely with. Have to be a thorough conversation.
You
if
know
that's a preference, if that's a preference, ain't nothing.
Right.
There's nothing that you can do for someone who, yeah. Anyway, that's we good with that one. I have a couple of other things that we need to discuss as women as well. And I'll say, you let me know when you need to go because I know you have another responsibility, another engagement tonight. So, you know, just let me know when you need to go. But thank you for coming on tonight and having this discussion with us. And, again, bearastrology.yolasite.com, is it?
Yep.
All right, and YolaSite is YOLASITE?
Yep.
All right. Now, I want to discuss, as far as women, black women, because I think black women have this problem, and I don't see a lot of white women that have this particular problem. I'm pretty sure it exists, but I think it's more prevalent in our community. Do you find that a lot of black women are not, and I think the roles are changing, so I'm not talking about in the last 4 or 5 years, because I think things are starting to turn around and flip around. But I think, why are women faking orgasms, and why are we not comfortable with teaching or telling a man what it is? And I know it shouldn't really be us on the line, but whatever. But the point is, why are we not being more vocal and telling men when during the sex act or before sex, because there's certain things you probably should discuss a little bit before. But if we're not being satisfied, would you fake it? Would you make him think he hit in the right spot and he not? Or would you tell him, you know, can you do this instead? Can we do that? You know, how do you communicate that? And why are some women not comfortable with communicating that to a man? They would rather lay there and walk away unsatisfied, but he got his feel. He got his thrill, but you didn't get yours. How? Let's talk about that.
I don't know who these women are, but they need to get kicked off the team because that's some foolish. They need to be kicked. They messing it up for everybody.
Maria, y'all lying. Sisters, stop lying to these brothers because they come in to somebody else thinking they doing something, and we looking like, baby, you just not hitting it.
Right, and we need to acknowledge the fact that every woman is not the same. You may have been able to get bells and whistles being blown, and, you know, you might have made some mountains move with your ex, but this is if you're with a new woman, you have to take time to learn her, and you have to let her know, and I'm talking to the brothers, you have to let her know, can you tell me if this is something you don't like or something you do? Let me know. Sisters, you have to be willing to teach the men how to please you. You should be making sure that you walk away fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Instead
otherwise,
of worrying about if it's good for him.
Right. Well,
what
you
about
know what,
you? Too many of us having sex just for the purpose of pleasing a man without getting what you need or what you want from that situation.
Yeah, you know what? The other thing, too, is that sisters don't know that they're not having an orgasm their damn selves.
Yes, because they've never given themselves one, probably.
You know, so they don't even know that what they think, that little tingly, baby, that's not an orgasm. That's just somebody hit your spot, a spot real quick, but that's not an orgasm. So I think a lot of it has to do with is that sisters don't know what an orgasm is. You know what I'm saying? They've never had one. They've never really experienced. But more important, like, I mean, I think you hit it on the nail. They ain't never gave one to themselves. Like, go up
right.
inside you and feel yourself and figure out what it is and how to get to where to go and figure out your little pathway. I call mine my little pathway. You know what I'm saying? What's the path to get to the spot? And if you don't go on a Where Is Waldo chase for your damn self, you can't get mad because this brother ain't doing it for you. Because you don't even know, and then you're not even telling them, you know. And girl, oh God, sister,
if you don't know how to get yourself off, sisters, there's no way possible you're gonna be able to explain to a man, you know, where your spot is. And a lot, I've even heard women say, if he don't know how to get me off, then he don't need to be having sex with me anyway. How he supposed to know how to get you off if he ain't never been with you before? How is he supposed to know how to do? Every woman is not the same.
Right. Right.
And what's the point if you're gonna even if there are callers on the line that have a comment or question, press 1 on the keypad. I see that there are a few people on the switchboard, but no one has pressed 1 on the keypad, so I will know you have a comment or question. And I did just see a hand come up, so give me a brief moment. But if you have not shared yourself with him in that way, and see, this is when it gets into intimacy. If you just having sex and you're not intimate with that person, you and that person don't have, y'all just having sex, y'all just booty calls for one another, you know, see, this is a whole different conversation, so I'm like, all I'm saying is, if you expect a man to be able to satisfy you, you got to communicate with him. You have to let him know, you know. Instead, and you don't say, oh well, this ain't hitting it. You know, let's try something different.
Right.
And then you
right.
need to be on control. You get on top and show him how it's done. You know what I'm saying? I have even talked to friends of mine. One of my friends, and this is years ago, so I hope she has changed, but one of my friends just said she lay there doing sex. I was like, excuse me? You do what? You just
right.
lay there?
Right,
are you,
right.
You just lay there.
Right,
I was like, wow.
Right.
You
my
you
friend,
the
you
nail
show
on the
you
head
my friend.
With intimacy also, because sometimes it might not even have anything to do with hitting a particular spot. If you are not being real with yourself, if you feel a way about this dude, if there's some mistrust there,
right.
if you don't feel like he
yeah,
has
yeah.
your best interest in mind, you know, things
right.
like that can stop you from reaching orgasm too.
Yep,
of course
yep,
it can, and if
that's
the case, you have no business with him between your legs.
Yes.
Right.
And see, that's the other thing. We need to stop laying down with men for anything other than the fact that this is somebody we want to share our temple with. Our body is our temple. You have to respect it in that way, you know, and you don't just let anybody in there just because, oh, I like him a whole lot, so I'm going to just give him some and maybe he'll start liking or loving me. No, no, no.
And you know what, sis? Another thing, too, is that we can't be this is not, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the prostitution and stuff. We as goddesses need to understand that there is an art and there is a healing to the
yep.
intimate sexual exchange. So
mm-hmm.
if we are going to take the role as healer, okay, if we're going to take the role as healer, a part of that means you got to be honest with your patient. You got to let them know, baby, this is not healthy the way you stroking it, okay? You need to make sure you can't bang me out. That doesn't
oh,
work.
No,
you know,
see,
like
oh,
you
no.
got to do all of this. And then more importantly, you know, real talk, we can't be afraid of saying, you know what, there are levels of this intimate interaction, and sometimes I do just want a motherfucker to lift my skirt up and do your thing. Sometimes I do need
just
don't be
afraid to smooth
the,
you in, and you have to be okay
right.
with communicating that with him. And other times
right.
you want to be massaged, you want everything kissed
right.
from your head to your toe, and you have to be okay with yourself to be able to communicate that,
right.
and he has to be able to pick up on the signals. I'm going to go ahead and open this line up right quick. Again, it's a comment or question, mainly questions. But caller, you're coming up as ABC1490. Do you have a comment or question?
Yes, I just wondered, you know, you guys were talking about the homosexuality. And, you know, I understand being considerate about people, but I think that in our community, we've gone from being accepting of people, human beings, we've gone from that towards being totally accepting to it as if it's, you know, normal and okay. And that's a problem. You know, it's a problem in this society, let alone in our community. And I wonder what you guys thought about that.
Okay, well, when you say normal and okay, you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, but are you saying that we've gone from the point of just being accepted of it to saying, well, it's normal and okay if everyone or whoever is homosexual to be homosexual? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's been normalized. And I think one of you just said something that if your guy was bi or something, you'd be okay as long as he told you about it or something.
Yeah,
maybe I misheard.
That was me, Doctor. I said, let me say, if we're going to talk about normal, we're going to really talk about normal. We have to go back to even further than homosexuality and
right.
How did men come into existence anyway?
Wait a minute. Before we go there, I have to ask a question. Because depending on where the caller is, you know, when you made the comment you made about it being normal, are you saying that from a biblical or religious background? How were you what's your point of reference on that?
Not religious. I'm not religious. I don't belong to any religion. I don't really go for that kind
okay.
of thing. But
okay, was that your only question?
Yeah, pretty much. I was kind of curious about I thought it was interesting what you were saying also about how, you know, man needs to hit it and that kind of stuff. I thought that was pretty good, actually. But mostly I was curious.
Okay.
And let me just say with the homosexuality thing, honestly, what I think it is, I think it's part of this agenda to disrupt the families. And, then, you know, it gets kind of deep into all that stuff. But,
whoa,
you know.
Whoa.
Hold on a minute. Was that the only I just wanted to make sure we had your everything as far as your question was in its totality before we really got into that. So, all right. Well, thank you for your question. And
okay.
We're going to go ahead and let the sisters on the panel get in discussions about that. Before you say anything, Offset, because you already know where all three of us are about to go with this, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer because I understand there may be some new listeners or some people that may not be familiar with the radio show. So it's only going to be an informative disclaimer. I'm not going to apologize or say none of the views are my own because they are. But what I am going to say is, stop laughing. What I am going to say is our response is going to be based on science, medical, biology, and genetics. If it's something that is responded to after this point in regards to the question you just asked, you will have to go, you know, utilize some of the resources to, you know, do your own research and decide whether it's a truth for you. But it is a medical fact. To the points that we are about to discuss. And a lot of people don't touch on this. A lot of people don't talk about it, but I think it's something that needs to be discussed. So with that said, let's go ahead and get into it, ladies.
Okay, Offset, go ahead.
Okay, brother, first of all, let me say this really quick. The education of what we have been taught about what is normal is so disrupted in itself. I think that is what needs to be addressed more than what the structural thing is, first of all. Secondly, when did you come into existence? How did you come into existence? And from what source did you come from? And once we start talking about, once we are able to discuss that type of conversation, I think the idea of what is normal will really begin to fade away from whatever
right.
structure you're coming from. Now thirdly, ooh la la! You touched on saying that homosexuality is breaking the black family. No, brother, brothers are breaking the black family. Brothers are leaving. They're not leaving because, you know, this doesn't have nothing to do with homosexuality. Don't give me that. You know what I'm saying? And if that is the case, there's another thing. There's another issue that I'm taking and I'm charging these brothers who were saying homosexuality is breaking the black family. But these same brothers will not go and step in for a sister who may have 4 or 5 children. They're like, oh, no, I got to be the first. I got to shut your mouth up. Don't say nothing to me, because the truth of the matter is that you are fronting and you're not stepping up as a man for the structure of the family, and our brothers are leaving. That doesn't, if that, and then in real talk, if we accepted homosexuality, these brothers could say, I'm leaving because I'm gay. I still want
right.
to be a father.
That's if
be a father.
They are. But see, the truth of the matter is not every man that leaves a relationship is gay, so, or homosexual. I'll use that for the term. So I don't agree with the fact that homosexuality is breaking our families up either. I don't agree with that at all. And to be honest, if it was okay from a society standpoint for him to say he was gay from, you know, at the beginning, he would have never gotten to a conversation and a marriage and children with a woman he didn't want to be with, because that's what society expected
right.
from him. So therefore, there wouldn't have been a family
right.
for him to leave to begin with. So
right.
I think it really comes from a place where we need to talk about what things are, what, you know, what things really are, you know, what the truth is. And let me touch on some truths about what you just said, Arset. You talked about what are we and how do we get onto this planet, and how did men get onto this planet, how did women get onto this planet. I want to give one biological fact. Every fetus before 16 weeks is female. Every fetus. If you're a man that's listening to this show, I'm sorry to tell – no, I'm not sorry to tell you this, but it's just a scientific, biological, and genetic fact. Every fetus starts off as female. The body, the genitalia, the brain, everything is female. Everything is feminine. You can Google this. You can go look at it. As a matter of fact, Google how a fetus how fetal development happens and how the genitalia starts. I can give you a PDF breakdown of how the genitalia goes from, you know, when it first starts to appear up until the 16th or 17th week, which is the week that that obstetricians then start to say whether this is going to be a boy or a girl, because prior to that, they already know it's a girl.
Right.
If you really want further research and detail in reference to what I'm saying, pick up a book by Dr. Raymond Bernard, and it's called Mysteries of Human Reproduction.
Or, heck, mm-hmm. any biology book.
Or any book on pregnancy. A lot of this information
right.
is out there, but it's just not being taught to the masses. So we have this,
right.
we have this concept that it's a definite female or a definite male. Everything in human form starts out as a female. The female is the basis of life, period. And that's not to say, you know, anything. I'm not going to get into what it's not saying. What I am saying is that every being that's on this planet that is a human started out as a female. Everything that is life, plants, I'm not going to get into this. This is not a biology class, but this is just simple science and genetics and biology. So if you disagree with what I'm saying, you're disagreeing with science and biology. So, you know, it's really not something for me to go back and forth on. It's just something that plain is science and biology. And if you want to study it, I've given you a reference point. That book is a very good book. You can get any. Again, it's Mysteries of Human Reproduction by Dr. Raymond Bernard. And there are actual scientific studies in there. They get into that. They also get into the fact that y'all ain't ready for that, so I'm not going to get into that. If you really want to know what I'm talking about, just get that book. What did you think when you first read that book?
My
phone kept ringing, I'll tell you that.
I know, it was just like, oh, my God, because instinctively, especially as a reader, we know these things, but I'm one of those readers who I let the spirit be confirmed by biology versus biology confirming spirit. So when I'm reading this, I was like, oh, my God, I've been feeling this before my entire life. I've dreamed about this. But the scientific understanding, and, brother, I hope you're still on the line. Please read this book because it will open your eyes. And I hate to say it, but you will see that when it comes to, quote-unquote, normalcy, You might be the one not normal. You know what I'm saying? It's not an attack. It's really just, let's really look at the facts. And once, this is why sisterhood is so important, because once the sisters begin to understand this and we take our power back, then that's where true healing can come. Because see, brother, we're too far advanced for you to still be speaking like this. We need you to start embracing your brothers who are homosexual, because it's going to help heal the entire community. That's what's going to heal, not us shunning them out.
Hold on, right quick. I want to read the comments that are in the chat room, and I see we have another hand up on the switchboard. We've got 10 minutes remaining in the live stream, so
and
again,
I also
want to listen.
Wait,
go ahead, and then I'll look at some of the things that are in the chat room. Go ahead, Len.
Oh, my point of view on the matter, especially when you talk about what's normal, that's a very iffy word. That's a real questionable word. And you also have to look at who decided what is normal. And my issue when you're talking about homosexuality and you put all these parameters on it, my question would be, you know, if it's not quote-unquote normal, then why do we have children who come here specifically being homosexual? And please do not try to tell me you have never seen a flagrant 3 or 4-year-old that is blatantly feminine.
Yes, right.
Blatantly feminine, and you can see his future when you're looking at him. And this is not somebody, and at that young of an age, this is not somebody
who's acting. He hasn't
made a
decision. He hasn't been given this by his mother in most situations. This is just who he or she is, or what
happened. Who they truly are. And if my question, if it is not quote unquote normal, then why has that child come through that way? This is how that child was born and then grows up to go ahead and live a homosexual life. If they came here that way, and while I do realize some people choose homosexuality, but some people are truly born that way. And if it's not supposed to be, if it is so against the Creator, if it is not normal, then how do they come here that way?
Right. Now, let me read some of the comments in the chat room right quick, and then I'm going to open the lines on this caller that just put their hands up. Let's see. So does that mean that same-sex relationships are natural? I'm sorry, what was the answer?
The question is homosexuality natural?
So does that mean that same-sex relationships are natural?
That means that we are divine beings and we make natural what we want to make natural.
Right. I agree with that. In all actuality, you can really say it just like this. Every human on the planet is really a female. So when you break it down to that level, you can't say, well, this is normal and this is abnormal. You have a female with an elongated clitoris and a that's what it is. It's still a female. The womb, and I will give it to you like this, that little line that's between your anus and your under your penis and your scrotum sac, that's a prolapsed womb. You know, it closes up at a certain time during the gestational period when the mother's body cannot reach a certain amount of caloric or fat intake. The body starts to degenerate a bit, and when that does, the womb closes up and it creates that line that goes from your scrotum, your testicles, all the way to your anus. That's a prolapsed womb, and then that becomes what's called a prostate. You know, and I'm not trying to, the other comment here was that we were intellectualizing this and he was talking nature. And again, it's not that we're trying to intellectualize it. It's just that if we don't know these types of truths about biology.
Naturally, your penis is a long clit. There you go.
And I tried not to come off that harsh because to some men they think when you say that is harsh. So that's why I tried to explain it from a medical and a biological a biology standpoint.
And I mean, if you really want to,
it is what it is.
He's talking about nature, but the truth of the matter is I don't think they're really ready for what's natural, because when you actually do the research and find out what is not natural, it's putting a penis inside a pussy. That's what's not. When you do the actual
I'm saying this as a heterosexual woman. I love a woman. I love men.
I love
their smell. I love their body. I love sex with men. But when you start to get into the research, the actual medical when you start to get into the medical, the biology, and the genetics of it, the way
you do the research and find out that
is not right, and find out
that the only female on the planet that has a hymen is female humans.
Exactly.
Animals don't have hymens, which means that they were meant for penetration. Women have hymens because they were not originally meant for penetration. If you're going to talk about natural, you got to go all the way back to the beginning, to the source. But that's not the natural conversation.
You hear typing? Who typing? Which one of y'all?
That was me. Because a lot of this information that I'm talking about, I've been holding on to it for a minute. I'm going to go ahead and open this line up because we got 4 minutes on the live stream, and I want this person to be able to give us their question or comment before we go off live stream. But, you know, this is a serious, it's serious to study this information. And even as a woman who had some doubts about certain things, and I started reading it, when I really got into it, I fought with myself to really even want to read the stuff that I was reading, because I was like, oh my gosh, no, this cannot be, this can't be. And when I set the book aside and went and done other research and picked up other books that I have in my library, other encyclopedias, this information has been out there since the this information has been out there for so long, it's not even funny. But it's
and
not
only
taught.
That, but
I
would
about.
Encourage people. I would encourage people to do their own personal study. How many women?
Right.
If you are close enough with women, ask women and see if they'll be real with you. Ask a woman how many women, when they have sex with a man, they break out with a bacterial infection. Now let me explain to a man what a bacterial infection is. That is what comes into your vagina when it feels that it is being intact. When there is an intruder there, then these bacteria come in to try to get rid of it, form a mucus, and try to push whatever was trying to infiltrate the coochie and try to push it out. Ask around how many women, when they have sex with a man, they break out with a bacterial infection and just do that math.
Now let me and what you just said is right and exact. The other comment that's in the chat room is how do we reproduce? And is this a feminist, is this one of those feminist shows? And sure, there are infections. And, you know, why try to call
them
all
the question,
but
then you're not
ready
for the answer.
And the first time you start talking about certain information, they call you lesbian or feminist. That's
right.
Crazy. You're simply talking about information and nature and reproduction and homosexuality and relationships, and because we're willing to talk about this information, that's questioned. Well, no, I personally am not a lesbian. I don't have any problems with lesbians. I also don't have a problem with being called a feminist because I am I'm a female. But in terms of what you may consider a feminist, no, I don't hate men. I don't bash men. There's no need to do all that. We're just simply having a conversation, and now this topic of conversation has turned to biology and genetics and such. Now let me open the line on this other caller who had a comment. Your number is coming up as 111. Did you have a comment or question?
Yes. Good evening, sis.
Good evening.
Hey.
I like that harmonious flow that came from the voice of wisdom that have been speaking this evening. I have been enjoying the messages that are coming forth from the womb-niverse. And the sister who did the play really touched me, or is doing the play. And it's very meaningful and powerful. The calendar sounds interesting as well, but the play even more so, because that's a venue to express things to people in a way that might be palatable. The information that you all are bringing is very powerful. Much of it I agree with. Much of it I dare say is true. And with that, I say ashe and thank you to you all.
Ashe, thank you for listening and participating today.
Oh, it was truly.
Sisters, I love y'all, but I have to go to Four Corners.
I know you do.
So I would stay all night if I could. I know I would, but I have to go. I love y'all. Thank you for having me. When you have that science show, girl, all the books you done made me read, I'm about ready to get on that science show, too. So call me back because I'm ready to get
some. All right, sis. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. Now I'm going to open up the line because I really do want to give ABC a chance to address some of the questions that he had in the chat room, and I think it's only fair to allow him to address that. So I'm going to go ahead and open his line back up. Are you still there? ABC 1490.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry we don't have enough time. I really would like to talk with you guys about it. I have a show. You can call me on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Freedomizer, or Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Freedomizer, and we can talk about this. But, you know, I respect women. I love women. My mama's a woman. I got sisters. But this is wrong. It's got to be a man and a woman. You know, that homosexual stuff. Look, you know, ain't nobody talking about going out and hurting anybody, but it ain't natural.
Okay. Well, you have a right to, you know, think and feel the way you want to, and I respect that.
No, absolutely. I hear you.
All right.
But I'd like one of you guys to call in. I'd like to talk to you, have a discussion about it.
All right.
I like the man and woman thing too. It feels nice. It's great.
Oh yeah, it feels wonderful. I absolutely love it.
But the science is the science.
But exactly, and when you go and you read and study these things, and I'm not even just talking about when you look at the science, the hardcore facts. It's easy to say that it takes a man and a woman to reproduce, but technically all it takes is an ovum and something to activate that ovum. The truth of the matter is the sperm never actually enters the egg. And everybody can sit here and tell me that I'm wrong, but sperm never enters an egg. We have been taught that it does. We have been taught the theory of epigenesis, and that's what it's called. It's called epigenesis, the theory that the sperm goes into and fertilizes the egg. Epigenesis is a recently accepted theory in science. Prior to that, there was an ovis theory, and it's spelled O-V-I-S-T. And the ovis theory was that the ovum had everything it needed in it to create life by itself, and that there are certain things that help to activate it, but it doesn't have to have the sperm come in direct contact and go into the egg to fertilize it. And to understand what I'm saying, you will need to read the book that I've referred you to, which is called Mysteries of Human Reproduction by Dr. Raymond Bernard. And there are other books out there that get into this information. That's not the only one, but to me, that was the one that had the most meat and potatoes in it that really actually got into it and explained everything. It explains, well, yeah, so two women can make a baby? Actually, yeah. Actually, yeah.
And also to understand why these are just theories, you have to understand science. They have not actually done this. They have not seen this because it would be inhumane to create, to play around with sperms and eggs and see exactly how they work. This has not been done. It's not been tested, which is why these are just theories.
There's a question in the chat room about the caller we just had online. So can two women make a baby? And the answer is yes. So he responded, why ain't it happened yet? Well, the truth of the matter is it has happened, but it's not being – it's happened multiple times before. Actually, it's still happening now when you have a man and a woman together. There's still two women. But anyway, if you really honestly want to know the truth, no matter how bad it hurts or how much you want to ignore it, because I wanted to ignore it until I went into research it and study it myself. If you really want to know the truth, you can get the book I referred you to or get other books. There are several books, several encyclopedias, all of this stuff. I mean, when you look at, let's look at dermoid cyst, and it's spelled D-E-R-M-O-I-D, cyst, C-Y-S-T. When you pull up a dermoid cyst, and if you could get a picture of it, Google dermoid cyst cut open, and click on, once Google brings it up, click on image. You'll get an image of what a dermoid cyst is. When you cut open a dermoid cyst, you find teeth, hair, spinal columns, arms, eyes. That's a baby. But yet, dermoid cysts are what's removed when most women have fibroids. And these are women that, in most cases, because they have fibroids, they're incapable of having pleasurable sex because it hurts. But once you cut that dermoid cyst open, you find out that it's actually a baby growing there. So there are situations where women are reproducing by themselves. It's just the current medical field is not calling it what it is. They've addressed fancy names for it. but it does happen. And when you read the material and the research and the data on it, you start to become familiar with what the medical field is now calling these things, and you can pull it up and find out when and where it's happening, because it does happen and it's still happening today.
And it's not really
that much of an anomaly once you start to look at how many women have these type of issues. Even when you look at polycystic ovarian syndrome, that's another form of that issue, and that really isn't an anomaly when you look at the numbers to see how many women it's affecting.
On a basic level, though, when people ask about something being natural, the truth of the matter is you just want to hear that, yeah, we tolerate homosexuals, but no, that shit ain't natural. We shouldn't be going for it. That's really what wants to be heard. But the truth
right.
of the matter is, when you are really about your business, you rise above that. The truth of the matter is, as far as what's natural, what's normal, the truth of the matter is we cannot really tell somebody else what their norm is. There may be things that you do behind the closed doors of your home that are not normal to me. It doesn't have anything to do with me. That's in the privacy of your home. But because no one else can see it, it's not an issue. It is not for us to tell somebody else what is normal and what's not normal in their own lives. We're supposed to be more aware than that. We're supposed to be more aware than the general society. General society puts name tags and judges people for everything. You talk about breaking up the families. The black community is the family that matters. And by dividing these people, making judgments on these people, and setting them aside saying that's not normal, that's not natural, we're supposed to feel a way about that, that is breaking up the larger family, which is the black community. And the truth of the matter is there has always been homosexuality. This is not anything new. This is not some new plot to mess with black people. There has always been homosexuality. Just that now that we got 500 channels and the internet, it's more in our face than it has ever been. But there has been homosexuality since the beginning of time. It's nothing new.
Right. And again, this isn't where we're sitting here trying to spread homosexuality or accept it, this, that, and the, you know, third. It's really not up to me to accept someone else's sexuality, you know, but why should I make it harder for them to live their life just because I don't personally agree with whom they choose to sleep with? You know, I just think it's not fair. If I choose, and I have the right to do what I want, but if I choose to not accept someone else because of their sexual orientation, you know, I'm affecting that person's personal will by, you know, pretty much bullying them to not be allowed to live their life the way they choose to. And that's every human being's right to be able to live their life the way they choose, you know. So that's the main reason I wanted to talk about this tonight. I know it's a hot button issue. I know it's a taboo topic for our community, but I really feel as though it does need to be discussed. I appreciate and I fully understand people feeling different about, you know, this particular topic and feeling as though media and other venues are trying to, you know, exacerbate the issue or make it seem like it's normal, but I just don't agree that anything can be really defined as normal. So anyway, enough with that particular thing. There's one other thing I want to discuss before we get off the line, and if there are callers with questions that are on the line, make sure that you press 1 on your keypad so that I will open up your line, because we still have full access to the switchboard for those who still have questions or comments. Wanted to talk about how black girls are raised, you know, with certain beliefs, whether it's society or cultural belief or whether it's religion pressing this belief upon young girls. But, you know, we're raised with certain beliefs as to what is a good girl and what isn't. And I find that these beliefs and these things we're raised with and these things our parents and our family and our culture gives us, these things dictate how we look at things when we're older. And unless we get to a point where we feel free enough to explore these beliefs we were brought up with, we never fix them, we never correct them, and we never reexamine them. And we don't realize how big of an effect that it has on how we live our life out, how our life plays out. And, for example, what I mean by that is most girls, when they're raised, when they, you know, little girl grows up, she goes to school, you know, she's taught, you know, maybe go to college, you know, have a respectful relationship with a young man. Eventually they get married, buy a house, and have children. That's the life that, that a lot of young girls are really given. Like, this is what you're supposed to do. But there are no, there's not a lot of instruction as to how, as to give this young woman how to identify or how to come up with her own concept of what a viable or a male of equal yoke is, should I say. And why is it that for most young women, the summit of our lives is to grow up, get married, and have children? What if a young woman doesn't want to have children? What if it's her role to be a mother figure or a community mother or to just go out, travel, or research or do what she wants to do? Why? I feel as though a lot of, you know, the getting married, the having children and having your life set up for you as soon as you're born is very much outdated. You know, it almost doesn't allow room for a young person to get to know who they are and come up with what it is they want to do. Find out where their creativity lies and what pushes them. I feel as though a lot of parents are living their lives through their children in that capacity by kind of having everything planned out for them and not allowing them to blossom into who they really want to be. And I think this mechanism is what has zapped a lot of creativity and things out of a lot of our youth because of all of this. But you would like to speak on that or touch on that, Lynn?
I mean, I figured from a couple of different points, is that ties into a lot of different things. For one thing, you have the, you know, still the control factor for women that, you know, brings the conversation full circle to what you were talking about in the beginning, rather than having her be destiny of her own life and learn herself and what she wants to do. There's the control factor, no, good girls do this and good girls do that. But then also, you know, it is another lesson for parents to learn that the children that they brought here, while they are their children, they are also spiritual beings with a path of their own. And a lot of parents never realize that.
Right.
It's natural, you know, when you have a child, you have all these hopes and dreams for them. But, you know, at some point you got to take in consideration the hopes and dreams they might have for themselves. But especially with little girls, there's definitely some programming going on. But that to me, that goes back to the control factor.
Yeah, I think religion and society plays a big role in a lot of women. You know, the question I posed earlier: why do some women fake orgasms, or why some of us are not comfortable talking to our mate about what we like? You know, kind of teaching our mate our body. Especially when you haven't been with that person for a while. Even if you don't label it as teaching, if you've been with the person for a while and they get to know your body, somehow, some way you taught them or allowed them to be taught the ways of your body in order to be able to please you or to have that experience be pleasurable. After all, sex is a very spiritual and a very mystical and a very healing thing if it's used correctly and appropriately. So, but I think... I say all this to get into, I think society and religion plays a big role in the dysfunction of a lot of women when it comes to sexuality. And I say this because a lot of women don't feel comfortable with being seductive or aggressive. And when I say aggressive, I'm not just saying go in there like a tiger and rip them to shreds, although sometimes you may feel like you want to seduce, you know, your husband or your mate or your boyfriend in that way, and you should feel comfortable. But the other thing is, too, some of us, on a very basic level, again, just don't feel comfortable with our bodies. You don't feel comfortable just saying what you want in the bedroom and out. Because a lot of times it's not just even the sex that you don't feel comfortable about. You don't feel comfortable. A lot of women that I'm noticing, black women do not feel comfortable communicating with men. They think, you know, for example, if you've been in a bad relationship and you haven't healed from that, almost every man that comes to you, you may think that they are going to treat you the exact same way, and they may actually end up treating you that way, because if you don't realize it and you don't heal and you don't change, that's the vibration. So you're pulling in those, you're pulling in those type of people that are interested in you because that's the vibration that you're in. If you're in a I don't appreciate, I don't deserve more, you know, I don't get good men, or I don't appreciate, you know, these type of men are not interested in me. They're just not interested in me. If that's the vibration that you're on, you're going to pull more people in that are on that frequency, because that's what you're sending out. You get what you send out. And I think religion and society has played a big role in not teaching women specifically. I mean, even men. But since I'm a woman, I'm going to speak from a woman's perspective. I think religion and society teach, you know, does a great disservice to women, to our whole culture, but specifically women, by not teaching some of these basic things to women and putting so much religious ideology in us that makes us afraid to be who we are inside of relationships and even inside of friendships.
I think a lot of that has to do with healing on the male and female side of that. And, you know, if healing comes through work, if that comes through religion and you meeting with the pastor, okay, as long as you're healing. A lot of the problem is we've been taught that, you know, you got to have a man, or, you know, a man is supposed to have, you know, a couple women or whatever. And there's so much going on in everybody's lives. Nobody is healing from, like you said, that past relationship. So that's where you got men thinking black women are crazy, and, you know, women thinking that black men got commitment issues, and, you know, they don't want to talk, and this and the third. Everybody is walking around bruised and hurt and continuously hurting themselves and each other. Nobody is taking the time to heal themselves after whatever last situation they had. They just jump right into another situation. And
I mean, that goes to the old adage, you know, nothing to make you get over the last one like the next one. So nothing ever gets addressed. You just jump from the frying pan into the fire, if you will.
Right. So while you bruised and battered, then you get with this guy, and then you beat him up. He is trying to do right by you, but you got him yo-yoing, because one minute you push him away, then it's like, no, wait, I do want to be with somebody. So you pull him back, but then he reminds you of the last guy, so you push him away, and he like, this chick is crazy.
Right. And it's all because I think a lot of black women have issues with being alone. You say that alone word, and they're like, who, what? We don't value that alone time. We don't realize that alone time is a chance for you to really reconnect with yourself, get to know yourself, and if you have children, you know, connect better with them. You know, some of us don't value that alone time. In fact, we're afraid of it, because in that alone time is when you have to address that shadow self, that those ideas, issues, and hurts and things that we've repressed. When you're alone, that shadow starts to reveal itself, and a lot of people don't know what to do with that shadow and have been running away from that shadow. So they keep themselves occupied, and they never really get a chance to address the issues that are in their life. And from my experience, I actually have enjoyed my alone time, because it's allowed me to really tap into some things that I needed to work on for myself. And so it has been one of the best times in my life. Almost to the point where I, you know, was reluctant to open back up. So,
but I think what people don't realize is what you need to work on is what you need to work on, whether you're by yourself or with somebody else. And that is also why that woman keeps getting that same man, because that's your own shadow self coming right back at you until you take care of that issue.
Yep. There's no shortcuts to life's lessons, for real. We can try to trick ourselves, but there's really no shortcuts to the lessons we need to learn. And anyway, we're going to end out on that note. Again, you can find us at blogtalkradio.com/blackwomaniverse. If you are a sister who is interested in joining the temple, feel free to reach us at blackwomaniverse.com, and if you're interested in membership within the temple. If you have a question or comment, you can post it on our Blog Talk Radio page, or send us a message, and you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Black Womb Universe. Peace and blessings.
Peace.
Educating Black women about her story from all schools of thought. Radio, dedicated to Black women and the study of who and what we are.